Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Okay, I'm going to start this afternoon's session off by sort of talking about what the public think and sort of running you through sort of at local and national level people's perceptions and experiences of the police. Generally, the public are thinking a lot more positively about crime. We run a monthly issues tracker, and repeatedly over sort of the last 6 months, crime has kind of been falling down the list, and it's not quite as high as a concern as it once was for the public. And interestingly, locally, worries about crime have actually also fallen steadily, particularly over the last decade or so. People are pretty trusting and pretty happy with the police. They're increasingly becoming more and more confident about them. But there's still bugbears in terms of having more police officers more visible and sort of the threat of losing frontline officers. Thinking more about at a local level, ratings of local policing have risen over the past 5 years. And there's again been a sort of very steady increase since over the last decade. And particularly, there have been real improvements around people's perceptions of the police, around being relied on when they're needed, feeling trusted, feeling respected, and just being able to sort of understand local concerns. There's been a real shift in thinking on that front. Excuse me. Notoriously quite a difficult group, the younger age group, to kind of engage and feel positive about their contact with the police. Actually, ratings and sort of perceptions of local police amongst this group are again very positive. And this has actually been again sort of reflected over the statistics over the last couple of years. They feel that the police are there if you need them, that they treat people fairly, and that they are very helpful and to young people. But I think even though that there's these very positive findings, there are still issues that I think still need to be borne in mind. If you look at the bottom of the graph, the way in which young people feel about police being positive about them in their local area, or how they're treated in terms of being like adults, there's still a definite room for improvement on that front. But again, the public are very confident in terms of the way that which police are catching and convicting criminals. And although ASB has always been a sort of top of mind mention for the public whenever you want to talk to them about what's a concern of them at local level, ASB now is also not seen as so much of a problem as it has been in the last 5 years. That said, there are obvious concerns still for the public, and there are some similarities between what's seen at nationally and local in terms of concerns, but there's also differences as well. Young people committing crime remain a focus, both at a local and a national level. But once you get down to a more local level, it's antisocial behaviour that becomes more of an issue. And again, the same issue that comes up through so many of the surveys and research that we do is very much wanting there to be more police and sort of more visible policing. So moving on to sort of the role of the police, and particularly now thinking about the newly elected PCCs, We often speak to the public about what they see as being sort of priority crime types that they feel should be tackled, and also sort of key activities that the police should be dealing with. In terms of crime types, burglary is sort of top of mention, which I think is perhaps unsurprising, but sort of drunken, sort of yobbish behaviour also falls quite highly. When asked sort of what sort of important categories or activities the police should be focusing on, caring for victims and witnesses comes right at the top of the agenda. And I think that's a very interesting point for consideration, particularly for the newly elected PCCs and going forward. But also making sure that offenders that are released from custody are monitored effectively. And rehabilitation actually is a very key issue for the public. And a lot of the dialogue we have with them, they would like to see monies and efforts spent around rehabilitation as sort of quite a sort of key priority for them. But as ever, in terms of budget cuts, there's a real concern as what that will translate at both a local and national level in terms of policing. And there's a real worry that will actually mean that there'll be fewer police officers on the streets, and that there'll be an increase in crime, and people generally feel that they'll feel less safe as a result of the police cuts. Despite perceptions of ASB improving, ASB still remains, as I showed you in the table before, a big concern for the public. And it's often within areas, sort of highly deprived areas, where there is also a high likelihood of young people residing as well, where ASB seems to be an issue. But it's not all about ASB, and particularly for those in those deprived neighbourhoods, they have a range of different issues that are also of concern to them, which are more around gangs and violence and street robbery. But interestingly, these are also the groups that are less likely to want to engage with the police and feel that informed about what's happening. And I think that's the key thing in terms of for policing more generally at a local level, as well as for the PCCs, it's understanding that you can understand what the concerns are for a local community, but within that local community, you're going to have different groups, and within those different groups, they're going to have different concerns and different wants, and it's making sure that those are best reflected. We sort of asked recently some of the public what they sort of see as being sort of the important crime priorities for newly elected PCCs, and probably sort of following the theme of the presentation so far, ASB did come at the top of the list. But it is, again, consistently making police more visible and tackling violence and gangs as well. We asked prior to the elections what will sort of help them decide their vote in terms of their choice of police crime commissioner. And it was a willingness to support the community in the fight against crime and a knowledge of the local issues that affect crime. And I think it also boiled down to having accountability and feeling that there was somebody that was going to be in post who was going to be held accountable for what happened at a local level around policing, and somebody who really understood and listened to what the issues and the needs were of the local communities. There was a real worry that the role of PCCs would become more political, and there was a real want for it to be much more independent without any allegiance to any political party. But just generally, for those that are aware and were asked, there was a general want for somebody to have that accountability at a local level. The problem is how you kind of challenge and enthuse people at a local level, and how you kind of promote that engagement. Because it's important in understanding what the local needs are and understanding what their concerns are, is you're getting that dialogue by actually engaging with the public at a local level. And the key thing is to convince them that the role of the PCC is a worthwhile role and what it can actually bring, and that it's working for the public, it's not working for a political party, and that they're there for all sections of the community. They're there for the less well-off, they're there for the young people, they're there for those that are in the deprived communities. And there's a real desire to have more public meetings that people can go along to and learn more about the role of the PCCs and the policing efforts more generally at a local level, and more information about what's happening with crime locally, how it's best being tackled, if that's being effective. So tailored engagement is key. I think without that, awareness of PCCs and awareness of what police are doing at a local level is just not as high as we would hope it to be, and also for what the public are wanting. We ran a campaign tracking exercise for the Home Office pre the elections for PCCs. And we did a bit of a pre and post before they did all their election campaign. And there was a general sort of view that no one really knew much about PCCs, and there was probably quite a low level of people who said that they'd be willing to vote. After the election campaign, those numbers increased and people were saying they're much more aware of what PCCs were doing, and that they were more likely to vote. But what was interesting from those that did suddenly say that they were more likely to vote and more aware, they tended to be in the group who would be more likely to engage anyway. So they were the white, older, middle-class group and still weren't getting to the young people and those in the deprived communities. And I think that, again, just shows that the sort of key areas of communities where policing efforts still need to be diverted to. What people want, we've done sort of public confidence work within the Criminal Justice Service, but particularly within the police, for years, and I think it's interesting to see that the same messages consistently come out. And people just want to know who their local Bobby on the beat is, so they know who they can go to. They want visible police presence on the streets, and they want the opportunity to be able to go to meetings or whether to talk to people independently about what crime issues or concerns for them are at a local level. And it's having information. It's been given information about what's happening at a local level. And I think there's quite a lot of scepticism within communities about any information leaflets that are provided that kind of spin, basically, what the police are doing and how well crime is being reduced. When they walk out their front door and still see graffiti and vandalism, for them it just doesn't chime that it's not actually, nothing's making a difference. So it's making sure that the police work closely with communities to show that change is happening and that improvements are being made, but also getting them involved in that process. I mean, there's a real mix of views in terms of how listened to people feel that they are by public services at a local level. We, following the riots, we did a piece of work for the riots panel where we looked at riot areas compared to non-riot areas to see if there were any sort of different viewpoints in terms of levels of engagement with services, public services as a whole, as well as kind of police and criminal justice services. And there were some obvious differences, and although it was not so stark here, that riot-affected areas were much more likely to disagree that they felt listened to by public services, and also less likely to feel that they were involved in any local decision-making. And again, I think that just chimes consistently with deprived communities not feeling that they've got a stake or a part in what happens locally with policing. The problem is, despite saying all this, is that people talk about wanting to know and wanting to be well-informed, but actually don't particularly want to actively get involved. So in terms of taking on any of that responsibility and working with the police and sort of taking anything forward, there seems to be quite a lot of resistance to that. And I think that's trying to sort of change in sort of mindset is quite key in terms of getting some elements of the community on board. If they feel that they want to take responsibility, then they think they should have more control over police resources. And I think that's where police and crime commissioners and local police can work with communities to think about how resources are best invested at a local level in addressing whatever crime concerns or issues there are. In terms of going forward, there have always been sort of key measures around sort of public perception, and those are around sort of confidence in policing, satisfaction with police contact, particularly around victims and witnesses, and perceptions of ASB and fear of crime. And I think those really, in terms of going forward, particularly for PCCs at a local level, in terms of monitoring their engagement with their local communities, is to continually monitor that and continually dictate what's coming out from those measures back into the local community so they can see what engagement and confidence is like. And to sort of finish off in terms of where can PCCs then go next in terms of influencing perceptions, there's been evidence that crime, the new sort of crime maps, have actually had quite a positive effect on people's awareness of what happens at a local level, but also actually their perceptions of crime and their thinking that actual crime has gone down in their areas. And people do. People want accurate data about crime published and disseminated. They want... There's a real need, as I've said throughout the presentation, to work with particular groups in the community, and hard-to-reach groups in the younger age group is sort of key. And also, they hold such strong intelligence in terms of what happens at a local level that can be really harnessed by PCCs and police in terms of trying to address crime locally.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.